The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We talked about how we're accepted by God, that God in His graciousness accepts us for who we are in Christ. Not the old me, but the new me. Not the old way of doing things, but the new way of doing things in the new covenant that God's provided. And then we spoke about last week forgiveness. And why God so graciously forgives us. And that was, for me, one of the best sermons in the series to this point. Well, today I want to address another thing that goes with our salvation, and that's healing. It's a very big subject, and I may do it all today. I may carry this on for a couple of weeks. I'm not real sure, as the Lord so leads. But why are you healed? Why does God provide healing for you? I mean, why would He do that? Why is that such an integral part of the of Christianity, this idea of being healed? So we're going to look at a text from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And it's coming up on the screen. There we go. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, or by His stripes, depending on what translation you have, past tense, been healed. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, we realize that we will never understand a thing about You or about the kingdom or any of the truths that are contained in this wonderful book You've preserved for us, the Bible, unless You inspire us, unless You breathe it into us, unless You cause it to be part of our lives. And Lord, as we talk about this subject today that is so very important for us as individuals and collectively as a body of believers, I ask that You would, by Your Spirit, teach us the things that we need to know. Lord Jesus, You said that the Comforter, Your Spirit, would come and would teach us what we need to know. So I ask that You would not only give us Holy Spirit information, but that You'd give us inspiration and give us the wisdom that we need to comprehend the breadth and the depth and the height and the immensity of the truth of Your Word as we study this morning. Father, anything that I prepared that is not of You, just let it just never come out of my lips. Let it just be dust in my mind. And Lord, anything that You want to say that I haven't prepared for, I ask You to bring that to the forefront of my mind, that I might only speak those things that You desire this body of believers and those who are watching by the internet to hear. We believe You for this, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Physical healing has been a part of the kingdom of God since it was ushered in when Jesus showed up. It's been healing. It's just a very big part of it. And I guess in some ways you might say, why? You know, why is healing so important? Why did Jesus use miracles of healing as He walked in the shores of Galilee and as He walked along the Jordan River, as He went through the various towns and cities? You know, why was it so important? Jesus healed so many people, and the apostles following Him healed so many people that there's no way to count it. I mean, we have many instances that are spoken of. But John wrote in the book of John, he said if all the things that Jesus said and did were written down, so the world couldn't hold a book. I mean, that's how big this subject is. When we think about healing, in healing, since its inception, since we started seeing it in the New Covenant, it's just a swirl of a sea of controversy about it. You would think something so important in our lives would not be so complex. But when Jesus did it, people said, well, he has a demon. He's got a demon. You know, no man can do these things. It must be demonic. Others would say, you know, by what authority and by what power do you do this? How are you able to do this? How can you do that? I love this story when it's just filled with just things that I just love about it. The story of the man who was lame and his buddies wanted to bring him to Jesus and they couldn't get in because the crowd was so big. You know, it's good to have friends that'll rip the roof off for you when you're sick, isn't it? I mean, you just got to love these guys. They just tore the roof. I don't know what that roof was made out of, but it was made enough to keep the rain out, I'm sure. They just tore the roof off, and they let him down with ropes. I mean, they were bound and determined that this man would get in the presence of Jesus. And when he got there, everyone expected Jesus to, you know, to give him healing. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And man, you did this, stunned crowd. I mean, they were just, Jesus must have felt their emotions at that moment. And I can only imagine just vicariously being there, and then he looked at them like, you know, well, just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, he said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he walked out of that place. You know, what a great story where you see the forgiveness of God and you see the healing of God all manifest in that one place, in that one situation. The apostles, when they went out, following in Jesus' example, ran into the same situation. There were persecution. They were persecuted for the things that they did. They were sometimes recognized as gods for the things that they did. Just the opposite of what they were trying to do in pointing towards Jesus. They were jailed. They suffered greatly throughout their entire lives, and eventually most of them were killed, as you well know, and martyred for Christ. But healing was just a big part of that. Now, the contemporary church, the church of our day, has denied in many places the power of healing. They just say that it's not so, that it's not true. They say that healing ended with the apostles. They say when they all died off, that all healing and miracles died off with them. There's another group that says that in 13th chapter of Corinthians, where it says when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. They say that which is perfect is the word of God. That's when it was finished writing. And so because it was completed, there's no longer any miracles and there's no longer any healing. Others say that it's not God's will to heal today. Now, I'm not making these things up. I mean, this is doctrines in many churches in our very community. There was a church that Pat and I attended many years ago, and the pastor of that church got deathly ill. He had a tumor in his throat up in this area, and it just suddenly came on, and they did a biopsy, and they determined it was malignant, and that they were going to do surgery and try to get it out, and it was really a very serious thing. But they didn't believe in healing. They didn't believe to pray for healing, that someone could really have a miracle. Well, as it turns out, the pastor was in the hospital and was going to have surgery the next day, and the church gathered together to pray for him, that God would, you know, take him through this. But not necessarily praying for a healing. I mean, that wasn't in their vocabulary of things. Well, Pat and I were there, and we didn't exactly fit into the mold. We haven't fit into a mold ever. We didn't know any better. We didn't know any better. I mean, we prayed for healing. You know, we spoke in other tongues. I mean, I got called into ministry. You know, all those things that, you know, just shouldn't have happened, and we were a real enigma to them. They walked around with question marks about us all the time. Well, as it turns out, the pastor had the surgery. And Pat and I went to see him, I guess, the next day or the following day. And it was just, he was there in the room, and Pat and I, and he said he wanted to tell us something, but he asked us not to repeat it. Well, when the pastor tells you something, asks you not to repeat it, you know, you pay attention to that. And the only reason I'm repeating the story now, because he's no longer with us. He's in glory right now. And many years later, he was unfortunately killed in an automobile accident. But anyway, while we were there, he said in a scratchy voice, because he had had the surgery, he said, the night we were praying, he said, the Lord Jesus showed up in his room. Now, I'm telling you, this guy don't believe in the Lord Jesus showing up in anybody's room. Certainly not in his room at the hospital. And he said, the Lord came over and touched me and told me I'd be healed. When they did the surgery and they did the biopsy, there was no cancer in his body. I mean, it was just a remarkable healing. And he said that he didn't want us to tell, because he wanted to announce it to the church publicly when he got back in the pulpit. So it took him, I guess, a couple of weeks before he recuperated, and he finally got back to the church, and we were there, and we were waiting for this great announcement that Jesus showed up in his room, and he got healed. He never mentioned it. Never mentioned it. As far as I know, he went to his grave, but never telling the story. So I tell you that because that's a reality. You know, that exists in church today. The churches themselves, add to the controversy. Things such as, speaking words of faith as if they're magic. People do that. Well, just speak it. It'll come true. And using Jesus' name and using the promises of the Bible as if there was some kind of tricks that we could perform. And people get all hung up on about what they say. I would never say anything negative. You know, if somebody makes the expression, man, I was scared to death. They said, oh, man, don't do that, you'll die. I mean, you know, come on, folks. I mean, let's get real. Now, you don't want to have a negative attitude running around all the time where everything's black and doom and gloomy all the time. But, you know, if something bad happened to us every time we said something negative, we'd be dead already. You know, if that was the case. And we use it on the other side. Well, just say it and it's going to be done. And that is just not true. It's not magic words. It's the power and the authority of prayer in the name of Jesus. There's no formula. It's one thing you can notice when you read the New Testament and you see all the people were healed. Nobody was healed the same way twice. I mean, they just did things differently, you know, each and every time that it was done. Then there's the other part of this thing concerning healing. Well, people say you could be healed if you had enough faith. You know, if you just had enough faith. I've told this story before, but I'll mention it for those who haven't heard it. There was a family that Pat and I knew many years ago that the husband got cancer. And he went through all the treatments and all things you do. He went to MD Anderson. And he died. And his pastor told his widow, this guy's widow, that if she would have just had faith, her husband would have lived. Let me tell you, that woman's had men in church from that day to this day. And none of her children either. And these were people that when the church doors were open, they were there. So, you see how the controversy is? Some don't believe it exists at all. Others put some kind of religious spin on things to try to force people to do things a certain way. Now, I'm not going to be able to settle every issue here this morning, but I want to look at some of the areas and why I believe that we can be healed this very day. Would you like to hear that? Would you like to hear that?
Yes.
All right, I want a little more enthusiasm, all right? Okay, the first thing is that healing the sick is a privilege of the church. It's a privilege of the church. It's not a magic act, it's a privilege. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. Now, this is when Jesus was speaking to a group of 72. He was sending them out. When you enter a town and you are welcome, eat what is offered to you. And even Jesus knew that food was a real good thing to have, all right? When you enter a town, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you, yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus gives specific instructions to his disciples to go into the world and heal the sick. He told it to the 12 when he sent the apostles out the first time. He told it to the 72, which we just read. And then eventually it was told to the entire church. There's another scripture I want you to see from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, and God has placed where? In the church. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts. Notice plural, of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. So God placed these in the church. Now, I recognize that a church is not just a building, you know, but the local church, which is, this is a local church, we are a reflection of the entire church, of all believers, all right? And in the church, when they were speaking primarily in this area, that we're talking about the local body, that these are gifts that are placed in the church. Jim, back that slide up for just a minute for me, if you will. And God has placed in the church apostles, all right? Prophets, all right? Teachers, all right? Miracles. So there should be miracles in the church. Amen. Gifts of healing. People who are sick should be healed in the church. Now, you can get healed outside the church, but I'm a New Testament teacher of the scriptures. We ought to have healing in the church. Helping others. We talk about this all the time. We had a good discussion about that at the men's breakfast yesterday, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. You know, there's some that say you shouldn't have tongues. And Pat and I were instrumental in helping start a church in this town, and they put in the bylaws that anybody who spoke in tongues was of the devil. How many of you know I didn't join that church? You know, I was helping get it started. I got out of there as quick as I could. Okay? So healing is one of the greatest manifestations of the grace of God. It's one of the greatest manifestations because you get that which you don't deserve. You don't deserve to be healed anymore. You deserve to be forgiven. But those two are bookends throughout the New Testament. Where you find forgiveness of sin, you find healing taking place there too. Those things are a part and parcel, twins, that we need to talk about more frequently. Now, healing does several things. It increases the faith level to trust Christ. When somebody gets healed, it builds up your trust in Christ to heal again. It builds up your trust to believe God that could do anything. I've had the great privilege and fortune to be present when people have been instantaneously healed of dreaded diseases. And I've told you some of those stories. There's one that I'll repeat right now because I told you the story about that pastor. This is a story about my mom. Mom's Day is coming up in a little bit. My mother had almost perfect childlike faith. And some of you knew my mom when she used to come to church before she passed away. She just believed stuff. I mean, she just did. She had gone to the doctor and she had a tumor inside of her abdomen. It was so big you could see it, you know, on the outside. It was like a football size, you know, tumor. And they put her in the hospital down in New Orleans, that's where she lived, and we're going to do surgery. Well, we had a Bible study that Pat and I were a part of, and we were all together praying for my mom because she was having surgery the next day. Well, Pat and I went down to the hospital the next day, and we walked in my mother's room, and she was lit up like a neon light. I mean, she was just blowing and going. And she said, "Jesus came last night. Jesus came last night." And I said, "Yeah?" And she said, "Yeah, he walked." Now, I'd already heard the story that had already happened about this guy, this pastor. So, you know, he said Jesus showed up in his room, but he just told Pat and I about it. My mother said Jesus showed up in our room. And she said, "Look, my tumor's gone." Jesus walked over and touched me. And she said, "Look." And, you know, "Mom, I don't want to look at your belly," but she pulled it out, you know. She said, "Look, look." And, man, you couldn't see anything. So the doctors came around. They were getting ready to do surgery. My dad was there. And my dad said, "No." He said, "Well, you're not going to do any surgery. God healed my wife." And the doctors looked at them like they were cow looking at that proverbial new gate, you know. And they said, "Well, we're going to go in and do an exploratory surgery." And if you knew my little Italian dad, you'd know what happened. He said, "You can take all the tests you want on my wife while she's here to find out where that thing is, but ain't nobody putting a knife on my wife." And they ran all the tests they could, took all the x-rays they could. This is before they had PET scans and some of the things they have today. That thing was instantaneously gone, never to return. That was a miracle. Give God praise. I just want to clap. Lady, heck, man. Man, my mother was rejoicing. I'm telling you. If you had a tumor in your stomach that disappeared, they were about to operate on it, honey, you'd be dancing and rejoicing too. You know? So it increased, that increases my faith level. So a man healed of cancer. I've just seen, you know, a guy was dying, healed of cancer. And it's built my faith level up to trust Christ. And not only for healing, but in a lot of different areas, all right? Healing improves the life of the one who's healed. Healing improves the life of the one that's healed. You have a better life. If you're healed, you're going to be a lot better off, aren't you? I mean, if there's something wrong with you, if you've got acid reflux and God heals it, you're going to be better off. For one thing, you're going to have more money. You won't be spending on medication. You know, if you've got, you know, you're missing an arm and God gives you an arm, you know, that would be a lot better off. This mechanical device doesn't work that well. You know, if you've got back problems and you can't function and God heals you, you're going to have a better life. Jesus said this. He said, "I've come that you might have life and more abundantly." And I believe health is part of the more abundant. You know, so you will be, you faith will be higher. You will have a better life. You won't have to worry about the sickness that's in your body, going to the doctors, getting all that done. Healing also ignites the fires of revival to believe. I'm telling you, if one person will get healed in this church, they will tell other people, and they have friends, and you will have friends that you know are sick, and you'll bring them to church to get healed. Now, you know, one thing people do all the time, they say, "Would you please pray for my Aunt Mabel, my Uncle John, my cousin Susie, you know, my nephew John?" And we do that. We pray for people all the time. The better thing is to bring them here, because healing takes place primarily in the church. Because you have a greater accumulation of faith to believe. Now, let me just build a little scenario for you, all right? Let's assume that someone in this church gets healed of something that's wrong with them, and they tell someone, or you tell someone what happened, and you bring someone else here, and they come in, what? With an expectation of faith, believing that they could be healed. Well, certainly they believe that, because just last week, they know someone got healed. So you bring that person, and we pray for them. Their expectations are up. God divinely in the church gives a gift, one of the gifts of healing. They get healed. What's going to happen? They're going to walk out of here. They're going to tell their story. And you see how the cycle will begin? Now, unbelievers will come in that group, and they will not only see healing, but they will discover the gospel of Christ, and they will receive Christ, and they'll be born again. So you'll have salvation in healing. Those two things go hand in hand. And I think sometimes, and I don't mean this as an indictment, but I think sometimes we don't see enough salvation because we don't see enough healing. Man, that's the honey that brings the honeybees in. That's something that works. You say, oh, well, that's manipulation. Well, you just go tell Jesus and the apostles and the 72 and the church forever and ever that that's manipulation. That's not manipulation at all. That's people being healed who need healing. It builds their faith. It builds trust in God. And the fires of revival began. Now, unbelievers come for healing and they end up receiving Christ. Now, one of the things that I do, and I'm sure I'm not the only minister to do this, and I recommend for you that this happens, if someone comes for healing and they want me to pray for them, and I may not know that person, or I may just know about them, you know what I always do? The first thing I do, I ask them, are they a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if they say no, then I lead them to the Lord right there before I pray for them. Because I, you know, not that I can't, but I'd rather pray, make sure that they know Christ, then I'll pray for them. In fact, that's exactly what I did when I went to see Sharon Smith, not this Sharon, but the other Sharon that comes here, Betty Barringer's daughter, when I went to see her mother-in-law, who was dying of cancer, and I went into her bedroom. I didn't pray for her. The first thing I asked her is, when did you receive Christ into your life? Were you a believer? And she told me she didn't believe in any of that. And you've heard the story before. I'm not going to go through all the details of it. But by the time the next day, when I 2 days later, when I got word back, she had received Christ into her life, you know, when I prayed for her. You know? So those things work together. Unbelievers come and they receive Christ. Now, believers come for healing and they get a great testimony. If you get healed, you get a great testimony. Don Morales has a great testimony. His back was healed. You know, you've heard the story. Some of you were here in the building when that took place. I mean, he was disabled. I mean, he couldn't work. He couldn't know. Even he was so bad, the doctors wouldn't operate on him. You know, you're in bad shape when the doctors won't operate on you, especially if you got good insurance, which he had, all right? I mean, so they're willing to operate on you, and they wouldn't even operate on him. God, in this building, instantaneously healed him. Got a great testimony. He can tell everyone about it, what happened to him. The church cannot deny healing to anyone, believer or unbeliever. A couple of examples of that. Jesus proclaimed that the greatest faith that he saw was among unbelievers, among the Gentiles. You remember the woman who showed up, her daughter was sick. She was not a Jewish woman, and she came. And the reason we know she wasn't a Jewish woman, because when she asked for healing, Jesus said, I've not come for you, lady. I came here to the Jews. And she said, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall off the table. You know, that'll turn Jesus' heart. And he did. He said, you know what, lady? Just as you said, your daughter is healed. And she was healed. She was an unbeliever. But her daughter was healed. There was a centurion whose servant was sick. He sent to Jesus. And he told him, he said, teacher, I'm not worthy. You should come under my roof, you know. But if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus looked around. He said, man, I hadn't seen faith like this anywhere. And then he spoke the word. He said, just as you say, you know, go home. Your servant is healed. And when the man was on his way home, other servants ran to him and said, at this very hour, at the same hour that Jesus spoke that, he said, the servant was healed. So healing is not just for believers, but also for unbelievers. So if you know someone who's sick and needs healing, but they may not be believers, it's okay. Bring them to church. If not, we'll go pray for them. But it's better if you bring them into church. You know, it's better where a group is. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You know? Does that make sense? Okay, good. All right, moving on. The next thing is that healing is provided for believers. Yes. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 again. Okay? Jim? There we go. One more time. There we go. It's gone. All right. Now, we looked at this before, but I want to look at it in a little bit more detail. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins. All right? In other words, he took our sins upon him. He became sin for us. in his body on the cross. So that went into his body so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then it says, and it's in quotes, by his wounds or by his stripes, you have been healed. This is a direct quote from Isaiah, who prophesied in chapter 53, verse 5, about he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now this idea of stripes is when Jesus was beaten. The wounds or welts, isn't it? The Greek word kind of lends itself to that, that you can only imagine the horror of that beating. Most people never lived through a scourging of the Romans. I mean, most of it just never did. In fact, they usually gave 40 lashes to someone, and no one, I mean, you'd have to be in good shape to withstand that. But when it came to Roman citizens, they didn't give them 40 lashes. They gave them 39. You know, so just a thing that they did. But Jesus got the full amount of lashes that they would give, and I'm sure nobody was counting that close to see how many they were. But when he was beaten, those wounds, according to Isaiah, according to 1 Peter, those wounds have been provided for you to be healed. Now, here's the thing. We readily believe that our sins are forgiven, don't we? I mean, anybody here got a problem with that? You know, we're by faith, our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did. I mean, you believe that, don't you? You believe that you're cleansed and pure and holy, you know, because of what God has done. You have the righteousness of Christ. You were redeemed. You know, you have eternal life, all those wonderful things. But do you believe that you have healing available to you because of what Jesus did? We do with lip service, but we don't always do with what we believe. Sometimes we have a head knowledge instead of having a heart knowledge. No, even salvation in Romans, when Paul said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's more than, it's not just speaking. Remember I talked earlier about people using words like magic, just speaking things, just speaking them. It's what do you believe in your heart? Do you believe it? I mean, or do you accept it as the same, in the same way of truth that you believe about salvation? Do you have an assurance of it? Now, I'm not getting into the place where you got to have so much faith. Let me see. I'm gonna move around here. I'm going to get a little closer to you to try to explain this to you best I can. Your faith can grow. It's like a muscle, if you will. It's something you exercise. You go to the gym and you pump enough iron, you know, you run on the treadmill enough. Your cardiovascular system, your muscles, your sinew, all of that is going to get better and stronger because you're at the gym. Well, our faith expands, if you will, gets stronger when we see and experience things, but also when we accept what God's word has said. Yes. It needs to get inside of you. Absolutely. You need to say, I believe this is true. And I believe it for me. Let's not talk about other people. Let's talk about you. See a little mirror here? Looking at mirror. All right, so you see a little mirror. Talking about you. For you to be healed. And it's not that you lament and beat yourself up and try to work yourself up and try to get some kind of phony faith level up so that God will heal you. It's like being who you are. If you plant a rose bush, that rose bush produces roses. I mean, it just does that. You plant stuff, Tommy. What you plant grows, right? You don't plant you know, one kind of vegetable and another kind comes up, does it? Don't confuse me. He's thinking. With him, it may happen. Let me use somebody else. Pat, will you plant flowers? But the point I want to make is that you don't have to, a plant doesn't have to make itself produce the fruit, even if it's not the fruit you expected. All right? It does it because it's for some DNA quirk of nature in your garden, you know, it grows. And that's what ought to happen to you on the inside. Your faith ought to just naturally grow so that when sickness comes to your body, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your kid, not anybody else, but you, it should be very natural for you to believe that God can heal you. In fact, it ought to be very natural to believe that you are healed already. That's what it's in the past tense. And if you go look at the original language, it's something that's already completed as far as God's concerned, that there is physical healing for you. Now, what I don't want to happen today, I don't want you walking out of this building and say, oh, well, I got to go work up my faith, work up my faith, work up my faith. You know, no. Your faith will be stronger by hearing the Word of God. Right, and you're hearing the Word of God this morning. This is building into you. It's flexing your muscle, all right? Reading the Word of God, reading scriptures about healing. Just go read the scriptures about healing. Amen. And when you see people healed, you know, just say, Lord, I received that for me. You know, I'm not blind, but I received that for me. You know, for my eyes to get better. Lord, I received that for me. And begin to be a receiver of the blessing that God has provided for you at Calvary Street. Why would Jesus go through that so that you and I could be healed and for us not to ask for that or believe in that healing for ourselves? You know, it's like pick on Dennis, since he hadn't been here for me to pick on him in a while. Dennis, did you eat? Were you on board that ship? He's going, Did you float in the ship while you were eating? Yeah, you did that. Huh? How stupid would it have been for you to go on that ship and just starve yourself for 16 days when all the food was there? That wouldn't be too bright, would it? No. It's provided for you. It's there for you to protect. He doesn't have to work it up. He doesn't have to go crying, lamenting, you know, and all he has to do is go where the food is. And they'll give him as much as he wants to eat, more than he needs to eat, right? Amen, all right? So when you're sick, you go to God as if going to his banqueting table and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that by your stripes I am healed, and I receive that. Now what we do, and I'm speaking about myself so often, we pray one time, you know, God, I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. And then we go about our business. Well, you know, my faith is not that strong. It takes me a while, you know, that I need to remind myself of the Word of God and what God says. And believe it. It has to be. Don't wait till you get cancer or a heart failure or some dreaded disease to start praying and believing for healing. Start when you got a little thing on your eye, or you know your foot's got a bunion on it, or you know just start where you can, and let your faith start exercising, start building it. You know, see, you can't believe. Now, this is just for me. This is me. All right, this is not you. This is me. Earlier on in my Christian life, for some reason, God gave me faith to believe for parking places. I never worry about where I'm going to park. Because it's inevitable. The parking lot will be full. Somebody will pull out. There's a place right in the front. And I'll park. In fact, I'll give you an example. I go to the Slidell gym. There's a, right by the front door where you can park, there's a handicap parking. And then there's the number one spot for people who are not handicapped. I never get to park there. Never. I've been going to that gym for as long as it's been open. You know, it's been a long time. I get close, but I never get that spot. The other day, I drove up, and the number one spot was open. It's kind of hard to see. You got to really push your faith to get all the way to the edge. And there it was. I thought, God, you gave me the number one parking place. And I pulled right in. I mean, I was so happy, Tommy. Man, I was, yeah, I mean, I'm praising the Lord. I got the number one parking place. You know, and I believe that, all right? I went back the next day. Wouldn't you believe it? The number one parking spot was open, and I pulled into the gate. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. And I heard God say to me, I can do whatever I want for you. Now, this is not about parking places. This is about building your faith to believe for miracles so that it becomes natural for you. I never worry about it. I never think about it. I know I'm going to get a good parking place. And if I don't get one, I am really upset. If I have to walk a half a block, I am upset because my faith level is that it's going to happen. See? So start thinking in those terms about your faith level when it comes to healing. God's word says, and I'm going to show you some more scriptures, that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, if you don't believe that, why do you believe that your sins are forgiven? Because they're in the same place. I choose to believe my sins are forgiven. I choose to believe that there's divine health, all right, in Christ. Got that? Got it? All right, that's good. Good stuff, good stuff. Now, those who don't believe in divine healing try to explain this passage away. They say things like, well, that's spiritual healing, not physical healing. The word, the actual Greek word that's there is aomai, A-I-A-O-M-A-I, however you pronounce that. It means to heal, curing, to be cured, perform healings. It's a verb. It's something that's done. It's an action, okay? That's the word that's there. Matthew explained, thank you, Matthew, in chapter 53, verse 4, that it's physical and not spiritual healing. Jim, would you bring that next slide up for me? All right, here we go. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him being Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. I like that. He healed all the sick. This is the part I want you to see. This was to fulfill which was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. So it's going back to the Old Testament. This is what Isaiah said. This is what was fulfilled in Jesus. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. That is a quote directly from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. So in case anybody says to you, well, that healing that we have in Christ is just spiritual, then go show them this passage of Scripture, because they explain to us here what Isaiah was saying in that whole passage of Scripture in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. You can go read it today when you leave here. He bore our infirmities and all of our diseases. So whatever's wrong with you was taken care of by Jesus Christ. What he did was the fulfillment of that. What the apostles did was fulfillment of that. What the early church did is the fulfillment of that. What we do today in the church is the fulfillment of that. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, for those of you who still don't believe, let me give you some more information. Our spirit doesn't get sick.
That's right. Amen.
When I lost my arm in my boating accident, my spirit still has two arms. You know, nothing can hurt my spirit. Have you ever gone to the doctor and said, well, I'm okay, doctor, my spirit's real sick. You got any pills to take care of that? You have a spiritual pill you can give me to make my spirit better? Now, we use the word sometimes, you know, well, his spirits were low or something like that, but that's talking about emotions more than anything. I'm talking about your spirit, the part of you that's alive, the part that was born again, the nature of God that dwells within you. Never get sick. Jesus didn't die for you to get better. You were born again spiritually. Your spirit is good. In fact, it talks about us prospering externally, and I'll talk about this next week when we talk about prosperity, as you inwardly are prospering. As your soul prospers, so God expects you or wants you to prosper on the outside. Physical death and sickness did not exist until sin entered the world. Now, you've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it again just to make sure you get it. Nobody, Adam and Eve, nobody, B-O-D-Y, nobody, no human being, Adam and Eve, got sick or died until sin entered the world and death entered in with it. We get salvation and health. Sin brought in death and disease. You got that? So we get just the opposite of that when we're born again. Now, why do you get sick? If what I just said is true, why are you sick? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'll give you a couple of reasons. You get sick because of the evil one who is in the world who puts sickness on you.
Amen.
Now, how he does that, I don't know, but I'm telling you, he does it. Sometimes when you're sick, there's nothing physically wrong with you. It is the work of the enemy to bring you down. That happened to me just a couple of months ago when I was so sick, probably one of the sickest I've been in my life. Even I felt worse than I did when I lost my arm and had other things wrong with me. I mean, I was sick, sick, sick. And I kept telling Pat, there's nothing wrong with me. This is a spiritual attack of the enemy. Now, the natural thing to do would be go to the doctor. But I didn't go to the doctor because I knew it was spiritual. I only went to the doctor after it had gone on for a couple of weeks, and I thought, I'm just not perfect, folks. You just have to forgive me. I just got in the flesh and said, you know, I might die. Maybe I ought to go see the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and they ran a battery of tests. They took more blood out of me than I thought I had and did everything they did. They ran cultures to see what it was. And everything came back absolutely negative. There's nothing physically wrong with me. So sometimes when you get sick, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you whether it's a physical malady or there's something spiritual going on. And the way you want to make war against that will be different. You fight against the devil. You resist him. You resist his power. You draw near to God. You remind yourself through the scriptures of who you are in Christ and that he has no power and no authority over you. Okay, you got that? So sometimes your sicknesses just come from the devil himself. Sometimes you get sick because we live in a diseased world. Everything you touch, you shake hands with people. Somebody comes in here and they got the contagious flu virus, and you hug them and kiss them. Oh, it's so good to see you. And you walk out of here, and the next day you go, where did I get that from? Oh, that was George Smith. I shouldn't have hugged him. You know, he did it to me. You know, I wouldn't be sick if it wasn't for George. You know, George got it because he went down to the car place and he shook hands with an automobile mechanic. Or maybe someplace down in the Ninth Ward, you know, hug somebody. You know, we live in a place that's just filled with disease. In fact, there was a movie Pat and I almost watched last night about a pandemic where everybody was getting sick, and it had a little preview on the TV. We looked at it, and they were saying, yeah, everything you touch and everything you breathe. So, man, we don't want to watch that. That's not a good thing for us to be watching. But, I mean, it's just part of this world we live in. We live in a fallen world, and sickness is everywhere. You got to watch what you eat. Sometimes you get food that's got some bacteria in it, E. coli or, you know, whatever else. I don't even know what E. coli is, but it's not those cough drops, are they? That's another sense of, you know, we eat this food, and it's got something wrong with it. You buy something that's contaminated. You leave something in the fridge too long, and Pat gets me on top. I'm just kind of a nerd about this. You know, I'll take food out of the refrigerator, and the first thing I do is I smell it, you know. Can't stand the thought of eating stuff that isn't good. She says, stop smelling your food. I just do that, you know. Make sure it's not got something wrong with it, you know. I just do that. Yeah, Hawkeye. I don't must have got that from MASH. I don't know where I got that from. I think I got it from my mama, probably. So, you know, folks, I don't want to burst your bubble. I hate to do this to you. But sooner or later, you're going to get sick. You know, it won't be the devil's doing. It'll just be this world's doing. You're going to run into something that's going to make you sick. That's why we have healing. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. The other reason we're sick is an unhealthy lifestyle. Can't blame it on the devil. You can't blame it on the world. You just have to blame it on yourself. We just don't take very good care of ourselves. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's a little weak, but it's there. You know, some of this stuff we're eating, I know we're having a special day today. Today is our birthday day, and some unhealthy food has crept into the back there. I saw it. It's not going to do you any good to eat it. It's going to taste good. You know, if you go down and you order yourself a steak for lunch today, and it's marbleized, a lot of fat, it is going to taste delicious. It's not good for you. All right? You know, all that butter that you like, it's not good for you. You know, those crawfish and crabs and shrimp you like to eat, they're not good for you. You know, Louisiana has one of the highest rates of cancer and heart disease in the nation. You know why? Because all the people who come here to eat our wonderful food, it's not good for you. I mean, we really need to think about that some. And try to change our diet some. Now, we try in our home to eat. Pat puts healthy food in front of me, whether I like it or not. Sometimes I eat it, sometimes I don't. But, I mean, I give her credits for trying to put some good. You know, you got to eat your veggies, and I hate veggies, all right? I mean, some of we go on that 21-day fast, Daniel fast, and say you can eat veggies. Some of you know, oh, man, I get to eat veggies. No, man, I hate veggies, all right? Just don't like them. I don't know why God created them. I don't know. But they're good for you. Now, all the stuff I put on them to try to make it taste good is not good for you. You know, but the veggies are good for you. You know, and one of the things that you can help yourself and have a healthier life is just start controlling your diet. We were talking about this the other day at breakfast. I was with Jim and Mike. And we said, you know, we'd probably be a lot healthier if we followed the dietary laws that were given under the law. You know, we eat stuff we shouldn't eat. You know, that even God said, don't eat this stuff. You know, like pork. I mean, the only reason pork is that it doesn't kill you at all is because we have good refrigeration. I mean, pork is bad for you. I mean, it'll go bad quick. A lot of people died and got diseases from eating pork before we had good refrigeration. So, anyway. Jesus took sin and sickness to Calvary. You were saved and healed by what took place at Calvary's tree. Now, why do we struggle to be healed? Why do we struggle all the time? You know, why aren't we healed immediately after we get sick? I'm glad you asked me that question. Because of unbelief. When I talked about earlier, by his wounds, by his stripes, you have been healed. We just don't believe it. We give lip service to it, but is it inside your inner core? Have you adopted that? You know what you ought to do? You ought to memorize this passage of Scripture from Isaiah and memorize the one in 1 Peter that we just read and quote it to yourself. Just say it over and over and over again. Build it into you. Mull it over. Munch on it. Be like the proverbial cow, you know, chewing on its cud. You know, chew on it. Let it be a part of you. Another reason we don't get healed, doctors and medicine cure most of what's wrong with us. Your blood pressure's high, go to the doctor, give you pills. Cholesterol's high, go to the doctor, give you pills. You know, you're nervous, go to the doctor, give you a pill. You know, you got infection, go to the doctor, give you a pill. Now, I'm not opposed to doctors. I go to doctors too. But that shouldn't be your first line of defense against sickness. You ought to be going to God first. Give him a chance. Most of the time, you're not going to die right away. Most of the time. If you die, I'll do your funeral. I do great funerals, so don't worry about it, all right? But, you know, if you've been around doctors at all, and some of you I know have been, and Miss Beverly can attest to this, these guys are practicing medicine.
That's right.
And they're practicing on you. And what they don't always know. And you've heard me tell a story about Dennis. I mean, Dennis was about to have that aneurysm, I believe that's what they call it, whatever he's having done. And that doctor walked in, and Dennis is all doped up. I mean, he's not feeling any pain. You know, his wife's there. She's teary-eyed. You know, what's going on? And I'm there to try to help him. And the doctor shows up, puts his kind of short guy, put his elbows on that little bed rail, and he says to Dennis, "I was reading in the book last night." And I thought, oh, man. If he's reading the book last night, I'm out of here. You know? Thank goodness he read the right chapter, because Dennis turned out all right. You know, Dennis is here to tell the story. But the point I'm making, they're not God.
Amen.
You know, we've made gods out of them. We treat them like God. You know, something I'm trying to break myself of the habit? All of us, everybody I know in this room is guilty of it. You'll say, well, I went to my cardiologist, or I went to my, you know, orthopedic surgeon. I went, not yours. You know? I'm saying it's mine. You say, I went to a cardiologist. I went to the cardiologist. I'll give their name. Stop claiming it as your own. I mean, it's spooky about that, you know. It kind of tells you where your faith level is, doesn't it? You know, that we're looking to those doctors to be able to do something. Last thing I want to say on this particular thing, why do we struggle to be healed? Oh, boy, this one hurts. It's just too much trouble to accept grace and salvation for healing. It's just too much trouble. It's a lot easier to go to the medicine cabinet when you got a headache. It's a lot easier to go to the doctor than it is to try to work your weak faith to the level for healing. You know, I go to the gym. It's my target to go to the gym 3 times a week. Four. That's my target. I don't always make it, but that's my target. Because you know what? If I went down to that gym and jumped on that treadmill and hadn't been there for several months and tried to do what I'm able to do today, that ain't going to work. I'm going to hurt myself. I like to work with, you know, weights. Should have muscles in there. He's in here. Come on, boy. Speak up, y'all. You know, I'm not picking up 80 pounds. You know, 15, maybe 20, you know, if I'm really stretching myself. But if I haven't worked out in a couple of months and I go in there and try to pick up a 20-pound weight, he can pull a muscle real easy. And spiritually, the same thing happens to us. We need to be exercising our faith all the time. You know, so, well, I'm going to believe God. The doctor told me he had cancer. I'm praying for healing. Well, why not pray for healing for your headache? You know, why not start there? I am not going to finish this sermon today, all right? And by design, I knew I had too much here to finish it. When I decided to tackle this subject, I knew all hell would break loose. I just knew it would. Well, it started Wednesday for me. Started Wednesday. Because I didn't take good care of myself in my life and ate all the stuff I like to eat instead of stuff I should have eaten, because I didn't go to the gym and work out and keep myself healthy, one day I went to the doctor and I said, "Doctor, man, this little pain in here, you know." And the doctor said, "Oh, let's check that out." So they put me on a treadmill. Went to the treadmill. And I passed. I said, "Couldn't be a problem with me. My heart's in great shape." So I went back to the doctor. I said, "Come back in 6 months." I went back in 6 months. Didn't change my lifestyle at all. He said, "Do you still have that little pain?" I said, "Yeah, just not much. Just a little pain. You know, it just doesn't bother me very much." So we can do another kind of test. Man, if you haven't had this test done, you don't want to get it done. It's with a chemical stress test. Whoa, man, don't ever get that. The doctor tells you want to do that, tell him, you take it first, doc, then I'll take it with you, all right? I mean, that thing was miserable. Oh, man, I thought I was going to die right there, man, right there. I looked at the doctor, said, am I dying? You know, I was scary. So I wasn't dying. But they still couldn't find anything wrong with me. And then the doctor, because he's so persistent, he needed somebody to practice on, he said, we're going to do an angiogram on you. Is that the right word? That's when they run that wire up through you, you know? You don't want to do that either if you don't have to. They went in there. Sure enough, I had four blockages, all right? So they said, you're not leaving the hospital. We're going to operate on you. And I said, no, let me out of this place. Well, I couldn't leave. They had me all, you know, had tubes in me, and I couldn't get out. Sure enough, they went in and did open heart surgery on me. Now I go to the gym, you know, a lot. I didn't go before because I don't want to go through that again, all right? Well, I told you all that to tell you this. I'm a little sensitive about my heart. As the doctor explained to me, you only got one of them. You can lose an arm and get along, but you lose your heart, you know, it's goodbye. Hope you know where you're going. So Wednesday, I was doing something. I felt a little pain here. It's like a little knife pain. I said, what the heck is that? I heard about that. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. So, you know, about 15 minutes later, and I said, what was that? So I said, I don't know. And I said, about an hour later, I said, oh, man. I said, oh, no, I'm not going here. I'm not doing here. This is the enemy coming against me. I know what it is. I know what it is. And then I started, excuse the expression, started belching. You know, and I got just my internal digestive tract is messed up, you know. And all day Wednesday, man, I'm just having pain in my chest. And I don't want to tell Pat about it because Pat knows I got pain in my chest. She's dragging my one-arm frame down to the doctor. And I'm not going to the doctor. I didn't say a word, you know. I did mention, too, that I had indigestion just in case something went wrong. She could tell the doctor, you know, that he mentioned he had indigestion, you know. So, you know, I'm praying now, man. And I said, this is spiritual. I know it's spiritual. I'm being funny, but I know it's spiritual. So I went in the medicine cabinet, started looking for stuff, and I found some gas X, you know. So I popped a couple of those and, you know, just try to, you know, get some peace. And I finally went to bed, you know, Wednesday night. And, you know, I woke up Thursday morning. I was feeling pretty good. Until I ate lunch. And it starts happening again and again and again. I said, there's nothing wrong with my heart. This is the work of the devil because he knows what I'm going to be teaching on today. He knows. So I made it through Thursday. You know, Friday, I felt pretty good. I came here Saturday, and we had, for the men's meeting, I ate bacon and a sausage, and I ate all kinds of stuff that I'm not supposed to eat. And boy, all day yesterday, I just couldn't get anything to stop it. But I know that it's got nothing to do with food. It's got everything to do with something spiritual happening. Now, you may think I'm crazy as a loon, but I'm telling you what I know, all right? So I knew what I was going to do. And I really started laughing at the devil a little bit. I said, you know, you'd love to bring me down, but I'm not going down. I'm going to preach this sermon on healing because I believe that we need to hear what the Holy Spirit has given to me.
Amen.
To share with you guys. So I got up this morning. And I felt great. And the first thought I had is I'm going to die in the pulpit. I'm going to roll over dead and just die because I'm so stupid and hard-headed. I should have gone to the doctor and got checked out. Should have gone to the emergency room. You know, this is just, that's the end of me. But I'll be dying in the pulpit, so that's the only good thing. And I'm thinking, I wonder who's going to do my funeral because I haven't videotaped mine yet. So, you know, that's just the crazy things that your mind does to you, all right? It's the crazy things that the enemy puts on you to believe that. But I believe that I'm in divine health. I believe that I've been healed by the Lord. And I believe I've been called to preach the Word of God. And it's not time for me to fold up my tent yet, all right? If I die tonight, you can say what I said here today. But I believe I'm going out with my boots on, fighting all the way. I'm not giving in to this sickness and let it run roughshod on me. I woke up this morning. I had a terrible headache. I don't get headaches. Pat, how often do I get headaches? Never. I had a terrible headache. My first inclination is to go to that medicine cabinet, get some ibuprofen, and say, I am not doing that. I just will not do it. I am healed by what Jesus did. I don't have a headache. There's nothing wrong with me. I am physically fine. If I go to the doctor, they're going to check me out, and they won't be able to find anything wrong with me. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm here today to proclaim that to you. Yeah. So, I didn't know whether I was going to tell you that whole story, especially with my wife here, because she gets nervous about me sometimes. But you know, we need to believe the Lord. We need to trust God. We need to be people of faith. Now, I don't want you to walk out of this place and quit taking your medication if you got medication. If God tells you to do it, go ahead and do it. But walk your way through it. Start flexing your faith muscles. Start reading the Word of God. I've told you the story about my back before. I was incapacitated to the point where I couldn't get out of bed. It's been an old injury. When I was a boy in high school, I fell down a flight of stairs and I hurt my back. I've had tremendous problems with it forever and ever and ever. I was in the bed, couldn't get out of the bed, but I had a little book with some healing scriptures in it, and I was reading those scriptures, and the one that really caught my attention was Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I just kept repeating that to myself. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I kept telling it to my spirit to listen to what the Word of God said. And I had been in bed for I don't know how long, unable to get up. I put that scripture into me for, I don't know, a couple of hours, and I felt the pain begin to subside. I got out of the bed. I haven't been back in bed with back problems ever since. Now, the caveat is that every time I share that testimony, the devil comes by to try to give me backache. But I know what it is, and so then I war on a spiritual level. I resist the devil in all of his ways. I draw an eye on the God. I use the Word of God. I dress myself in the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel of my feet, the shield of faith, and I trust in the Word of God, the sword of the Lord. And I use those things to ward off the enemy. Now, if you've done all that, you believe God, you trusted God, you in faith, and you fall over, passed out, it's probably a good idea to take you to the doctor. But don't be giving in just because you got a pain. Don't be throwing in, you know, for everything. What's his name? Andrew Womack. He's got a great little book on healing. I highly recommend it. He's got some things in there that I don't agree with, but for the most part, I like the book. And he made a statement. He said it's a lot easier to walk in divine health than it is to be healed from a disease spiritually. In other words, if you live a life believing in divine health, that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, it's a lot easier than it is to do that than to have a dreaded disease and then trying to pray your way out of that. Okay, does that make sense to you? It made sense to me when I heard it, you know. And the more I thought about it, the more that it made sense. So if you're dealing with a sickness, you know, do what you need to do. But I'm not a doctor, and I'm not in the medical profession. I'm in the Bible profession, all right? And it's my job to share the Word of God as the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. And I try not to be too much off the wall, and this is a subject that I don't speak about a whole lot. And it's not that I'm avoiding it. It's just that it's not always on my agenda to bring up. But I wanted to set the stage for you. And I'm going to be preaching about it again next week, okay? I've got more to say and some other areas that I think will help us. But has this helped you or hurt you?
No.
Does it help? Does it spiritually make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Next week I'll be talking about, in part, about what we can do in the church. And I'll be talking about anointing with all and some other things that we can do so that we'll begin to build our faith level up. You know, I don't believe God wants us to be sick. I really don't believe that. If he did, why did Jesus take the beating?
That's right.
You know, I mean, what was that all about? You know, we don't have any problems. He's wounded with it for our transgressions. We got that. He was bruised for our iniquities. We got that. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. We pretty much take that. You know, I have the peace of the Lord. But boy, we seem to be having a problem with, by his stripes we're healed. And I gave you some reasons why I thought that was so. Okay? So next week we'll continue this. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. And y'all pray for me, all right? That the enemy would just stay away, you know, because, you know, I didn't know when I got in the preaching business that that you got to fight sometimes to preach, you know. I mean, it's spiritual warfare for me and for Pat as we walk this trail together. And it's inevitable when I want to preach on a good subject like this, you know, I just come under a spiritual attack. I mean, I'm not giving the devil any credit, but I just want you to know that. Okay, so it'll help you when to pray for me.
Pray for you now.
Yeah. Okay, you can do that.
Mike, and me too.
Come on up, Mike.
Yeah.
Pray for him.
Come on, the church will pray for him.
Okay, and Pat wants to be prayed for too. Where's some oil here? Yeah? Amen.
Nothing like the moment. You understand?
Yeah, here comes Mike. Any of you faith prayer?
Everybody, come on, church. Yeah. The church.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing like praying about healing and get yourself prayed for. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, with all of what I've been going through with my sister-in-law, God has taught me an awful lot.
Hallelujah.
He's showed me how important it is.
Amen. Father in Jesus.
Father in Jesus. We come into your holy presence. We come in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Your word says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, Father, we are united in the power of your spirit right
yes,
now.
Lord.
And we come against every demonic force from hell that would try to prevent this message being preached.
Yes, yes.
We take authority and dominion over every lying demon, every lying symptom that would try to come against these bodies. But these are the children of the Lord. Their bodies are holy and sanctified unto the Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes they were healed at Calvary's cross. We claim the fullness of the total healing.
Yes.
And in the name of Jesus, we command you, Satan, and every demon power of hell, take your hands off of this household, off of these bodies, off of these minds and their soul and their emotions.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we put a shield of protection around you, both of you, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we command it, command you, Satan, that you cannot cross the bloodline in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we
amen.
Speak total peace to your mind, your body, and your spirit in the name of Jesus. And you shall go forth and preach this word in peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We take authority over every enemy and we command them to get out.
Yes.
Go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. May there be peace upon you, each of you, both of you, peace in your hearts, peace in your mind, peace in your spirit, and peace in every tissue and nerve and sinew in your body, in Jesus' name. For you are made whole at Calvary's cross.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, church. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've come into a whole new realm with this thing with Beverly.
Yeah.
My faith has been so increased standing on the Word.
Amen.
On the Word.
I want you to pray for me because my body's getting stiffer and stiffer, and I had to just push myself to come.
Oh, okay.
My whole body.
Okay, let's pray for her.
Raise my arms.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just believe you for Liz, Lord, that you would touch her right now. Father, whatever's wrong in her body, we take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, we declare your healing. Father, we've spoke about that Jesus was striped for her to be healed. Lord, and whatever this stiffness is, we command it to leave. Whatever is trying to attach itself to her body, we stand against it in the name of Jesus. And we declare she is made whole. So let every fiber in her body, Lord, rise up and praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, let it be so.
Let us know. Every nerve and every muscle in
yes.
your body.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We command all stiffness to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed.
Yes.
Save me, and I will be saved.
Yes.
And that you are my praise.
Yes.
And so I just praise you and thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
For touching her body. Releasing this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.